This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Ugh, I barely got any sleep last night.
What? Why?
I spent hours fighting with AI, all because I was trying to make a website. It started out okay, but then I got stuck just trying to change one button.
Okay, relax. Just try Wix Harmony.
What's that?
It's Wix's new website builder. Lets you switch back and forth between AI tools and hands-on editing anytime.
So I'm not just prompting and praying?
Nope. Just try it for free at wix.com/harmony.
Daylight breaks over the ridge. The hounds strike. No crowds, no cameras, just a track and the hounds that bring the story to life. That's what this show's about. Dogs, dirt roads, early mornings, and the people who live it. This is Creekside Chronicles. Hounds, hunting, and heritage. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, houndsman, hunter, and a lifelong student of the outdoors. Here, we chase more than game. We chase knowledge about hounds, hunting, and living the outdoor life the right way. From bear country to back roads, this is where the hunt meets heart, and every story runs a different trail. So pull up your chair by the creek, leash up your best hound, and let's get after it together. Performance starts in the feed. Inukshuk's high-fat content fuels long runs and hard hunts, giving dogs the steady energy they need, while quality protein supports faster recovery after the work is done. That's why I trust Inukshuk dog food. Packed with energy and nutrition, dogs need to go further, run harder, and recover stronger. If you want extreme performance, you can look them up at Inukshuk Professional Dog Food or CoreyNutrition.com.
It was one of those mornings where the cold hit you before your boots ever touched the ground. I cracked the truck door, and I felt like the air had punched me square in the face. 7 degrees is what it said on the dash. That sharp, iron kind of cold that burns your nose when you breathe it in. The dog box was crusted over with frost. And when I snapped the latch to open the door, steam rolled out just like I'd opened a furnace. The hounds didn't care. They never do. They were wired tight. Toenails rattling against the metal. Every time they'd take a breath, white, thick clouds would roll up underneath my headlamp. Somewhere on that mountain, a bear had crossed last night. And all those dogs knew it. I just had to find it. I stepped into that logging road, and the snow talked back. That loud, crusted, glassy kind of echoes through the timber. Every step cracked like a rifle shot. You could hear a collar shake from 100 yards away. We cut off the road, dropped down through the timber line into a holler near a creek bottom. The dogs opened. Wasn't a hot track, but it was a track. Dogs eased into it, working it slow, grinding. And an hour later, I figured something out. Dogs weren't having trouble. It was me. My gloves were wet from handling leads. Wind found a weak spot in my jacket, and sweat from that first hard climb turned into cold that sunk straight to the bone. That kind of cold doesn't just make you uncomfortable. It kind of makes you careless. You start moving more. You rush. You think about the heater in that truck instead of the bear climbing the ridge. And here's the truth about every winter bear hunt brings it. Your gear isn't about looking good. It's not about brands, trends. It's about staying comfortable, capable, sharp enough to finish the race. Because when those hounds turn that cold drift into a jump bear, the last thing you want to do is fight off the freezing fingers and numb toes. So today, we're going to talk about our gear. We're going to roll it over from last week. We talked about cold care for the dogs. I'm just going to hit a couple high spots on this because over the last 10 years, probably, I have really changed my outlook. I have changed what I wear, when I wear it. So we're going to talk about it, and hopefully it'll give you guys some tips or tricks. Some of you probably already doing it already. I know some of the guys up in the colder climates and snowier climates are probably already doing this. So before we get started, this past weekend we went up to the Western Outdoor Show up in Fishersville. It was a good crowd. Saturday, Lord, it was packed. And I mean packed. A lot of people. Got to meet a lot of new people. That was awesome. I always enjoy the conversations and putting a name with a face and, you know, just talking dogs, talking hunting, talking anything. I enjoy it. And everybody that come by the American Bear Foundation booth and spoke and talked to us, we appreciate it. I will say that Jake Herrick from Mountain Men, the guy that runs the Walker Dogs and a couple English Dogs, his booth was right beside ours. So I got to talk to him just a little bit. Man, he stayed busy, taking pictures, signing autographs, signing stuff for people. But I did get to spend a few minutes with him. We talked dogs and hunting, you know, and everything comes back to the same thing. It's our love for being in the outdoors. And, you know, he and I had a lot of the same thought process. And that's what drives me is being in the outdoors. I love being outdoors. I love being in the woods. I love being in the woods with the dogs. I love being on the river. Like, I like being on the water. I like fishing. You know, anything and everything outdoors, I really like it. Until back in January, we got this brutal weather that come in and changed my perspective on a lot of things. Now, I know why people want to move south in the wintertime. Only thing that keeps me from doing is I can't hunt down there. I want to hunt up here. So I guess I'm going to stay put. All right. So let's get into the clothing. Okay. And guys, everybody does their own thing and you should keep doing your own thing, whatever works for you. But man, if your gear fails, you're not just uncomfortable, you're ineffective. And I have learned that as I've gotten older. Things have changed. Like 20 years ago, you didn't have some of the clothing and some of the options that we have now. Like wool was it, and cotton, that was it. So things have changed, you know, just like our tracking systems have changed. Everything becomes newer and better. In a lot of ways, not everything's better, but that happens. So we're going to talk about, you know, our base layers and our mid layers. We'll talk about boots. That's a big one, right? Touch a little bit on gloves and our hands. We're going to talk about electronics because that's a big thing. And we'll roll. All right, so let's talk about our base layers. This is something that I've really changed. This is probably one of the main things that I've changed over the last several years is my base layer. And I'm just going to give you some pros and cons. Let's just do that. I'll give you pros and cons. That way you can make your own decision. Let's do merino versus synthetic. Okay. I don't know how I lived without merino wool. I just don't. It changed. It was a game changer for me. So here's the pros about merino wool. Merino wool handles moisture better when you stop moving. And in bear hunting, we walk, we stop, we walk, we stop. Like, unless the dogs are just actively chasing and we're trying to keep up with that race, you know, we do a lot of walking and stopping, and listening and tracking. So it handles moisture better when you're moving. It insulates even when it's damp. And when you're standing around, you know, on that ridge top or whatever for 20, 30 minutes, trying to make a decision or whatever you're doing, taking a break, you know, eating a snack, whatever that may be, it's a huge difference. Merino wool don't stink either. You can wear it multiple days and it's not going to get sour. It is warmer and breathable, so it regulates your temperature a little better. And it's also quieter and softer to the feel. It's not slick or plastic feel when you're layering up. And you may get that a little bit with some of the other stuff. The cons about merino wool, it dries a little slower than synthetic. If you soak it, it stays damp longer, even though it still gives you that insulation factor. It is more expensive. That is one of the things. And through some of the stuff that I talk about, you know, my theory is buy once, cry once. I used to buy stuff multiple times and then I'm like, well, you know, I got to do better than this. So that's just me personally, but it is a little bit more expensive. And I will say, because one of my favorite mid layers is merino. It does not last. It's not very durable in thick brush. Like, I have picked it, tore holes in it. The durability of it, if you're really rugged on it, is not where some of the other stuff is. So, good thing about merino wool, it forgives you when you sweat. All right? Synthetic or poly blends. Pros of it, it dries fast. When you're climbing hard and you're venting layers and stuff, it will dump the moisture pretty quickly. It is more durable. It don't catch and stuff like the merino does. If you're going to be busting briars and laurels and blowdowns and stuff, it's going to last you a little longer through the durability. It's cheaper most of the time. Lighter weight for the same warmth. So it is lighter, and you can roll it up in your backpack or whatever, and it doesn't take up a whole lot of space. It packs better, to say. The cons about it is once it's wet and you stop moving, you're going to feel it. And if anybody, you know, if you guys played football or soccer, you know, those synthetic undershirts and stuff that we wear, you know, you're going to smell it. Like, you're going to smell it. It does hold odor after you wear it a day. And if you get really hot and sweaty, you're gonna know it. So synthetic works great while you're moving. Merino shines when you stop. That's how you look at it. You know, which way you're gonna go with it. Early season, warmer winter days. Let's just do, I don't know, 20, you know, 25 to 40 degrees. The lightweight synthetics or merino blends work fine. When you start getting into the single digits and the teens, your midweight merino bases are going to be better. Even the merino bottoms, I have merino long johns that I used to not wear long johns at all. And I guess as I'm getting a little older, the last 2 years I've worn more than normal, and I don't know, but we've had some really, you know, colder temperatures too. So it buys you time when you stop moving. Just something to think about it. Cotton. Back in the day, this is what we wore, cotton. And cotton is a killer in the winter. And why is that? Cotton absorbs water, and a lot of it, like a lot of it. The material that it's made out of loves water. I mean, once it gets wet, it weighs 20 to 30 times its own weight when you add the moisture to it. So you're adding weight to yourself. So basically, if you sweat, get it in snow, you know, if you're crossing creeks and get it wet, damp air will soak into it. And we all know that, like, cotton socks is what we used to wear all the time. Now, I don't hardly wear. The only time I wear a cotton sock or I wear a synthetic blend sock when I'm at the gym. But other than that, my stuff's merino. Like, even in the summertime, I'm wearing merino stuff. And I have switched a lot of the stuff that I do. And to me, they're more comfortable. They give me a little bit more padding. But, yeah. So, cotton will pull it out of the air. It soaks into the fibers. Cotton does not shed water. It soaks it and holds on to it. So, remember that. It has less insulation. So, if it gets wet, those fibers collapse. Those air pockets in between the fibers disappear. And basically, the insulation value in that is it's none. It's non-existent. And it will pull water from your body. It'll pull that sweat from you, and it makes it heavier. So we're going right back into the heaviness, and it dries slow, especially in the cold. So anyway, so your mid layers, that's your base layers, your mid layers, you know, fleece, a light wet weight puffy. I've got several of the down jackets. Guys, I cannot wear them when I'm bear hunting. Like, I'm going to poke holes, tear them up. I got one, looks like I've been shredded by a mountain lion. Like, it's got holes, and I've got the tape, and I've redone it. But I can take that jacket and put it under a light jacket or another jacket, and it is a great, great, great mid-layer. Like, it does really well, but I cannot wear it as an outer layer. But the puffy and the fleece, you know, they're good for hiking when you're going behind the dogs. Yeah. So let's go to outer layer. Water resistant or waterproof? Which way are we going? Well, let's just kind of look at it. Cold won't beat you nearly as bad as being wet will. And I'm a fair weather hunter. I do not like to be wet. Again, this is kind of why I've changed my wardrobe, my hunting attire over the last several years, is I don't like to be wet. And if it's pouring down rain, I'm not getting out of the truck, probably not even going hunting. That's just me. If it's a light rain or it's rained the night before, then I'm gonna do things a little different. But so we know that waterproof means it's waterproof, and water resistant means that it sheds moisture, light moisture. I bought a lightweight jacket, rain jacket. Well, I thought it was a rain jacket. I bought it. It was on sale. And come to find out, it was water resistant. And we were in Canada, not last year, year before last. We were in Canada the year before last. It was pouring down rain. So I threw it on, and we had to go into a tree. And I didn't get in the woods 200 yards, and I was drenched. And I mean drenched. But it was water resistant. It wasn't waterproof. So, you know, it'll knock off, like, dry snow, not wet snow, like light flurries. If you got contact with the brush and stuff, as long as it's brief and it's not overwhelming or saturated. But it's not going to sustain long exposures of moisture. Water resistant isn't. They're going to be more breathable, and we get talked about waterproof. We'll talk about that. They're usually lightweight, and they're better for longer hikes. Cons of them, like I said, the wet snow is going to soak through them. Setting or milling in the snow is the moisture is going to penetrate them, and long days of busting the brush, just it's not going to last. So water resistance is fine until it's not. So you gotta keep that in mind. So waterproof. Basically, look at our Gore-Tex style barriers, right? Sealed seams. Like, you'll know if you're looking at a jacket or pants, they're going to have the sealed seams. They're going to be able to have a higher water content. Like, they're just going to, it's going to block it out. You know, they're built to shed moisture, period. The pros of them, handles good. You know, it'll handle wet snow, melting. I actually wore my rain jacket this year several days. You know, we had snow the second week, and I mean, we had a, like, it was hanging on the trees, it was hanging on the laurel bushes. Like, you couldn't go into the woods without getting snow all over you. And I wore my rain jacket. I put my hood up over my head, and literally that way it kept from going down the back of my neck, which I cannot stand. I don't think anybody can stand that. But yeah, it's critical that you have it in rain and heavy snow, and it'll keep the wind out too. So it's windproof. It is less breathable. And you know, if you're wearing a rain jacket, it could be in the middle of summer and you got a t-shirt on and you put a rain jacket on and you do any type of physical activity, whether it's walking, feeding the dogs or whatever, and you come in and you're soaked. It's because it don't breathe. It's not letting the moisture out. So it'll trap your sweat in. A lot of times it's a lot more, I guess for us bear hunters, it really don't matter because they can be loud when you're going through the brush, unless you're trying to sneak into a bay or something. And if it gets extremely cold, like it did once this year with us, like, you know, they can feel stiff. You know, they feel stiff. They're not very fluid. They don't move fluidly. So waterproof keeps the weather out. If you don't mind sweating in it, because it'll trap it in. So there's that. Let's go down to the lower body. All right, let's start there. Boots, man. If it's hitting a topic of the century, I've seen a lot of posts with people talking about wearing boots out, and I mean, bear hunters are rough on boots. I mean, it's just the way it is. Man, you're walking through the rocks and the timber cuts, and you know, you're on pass, you're in gravel, you're down off the side of the mountain. Like, it is a very, very extreme sport that we do. So boots, I've got every kind of them, and I'll kind of just tell you what I do. I mean, like I said, I see a lot of people that aren't happy with a certain style of boot, or they are, but waterproof boots are non-negotiable. Okay. They have to be not water resistant, waterproof. So I prefer Kenetrex. I have the Mountain Extremes non-insulated. A lot of people like to go with that, you know, that 400 grams of insulation. Some people 8. And if I was stand hunting, I would probably have insulated mine, but as much as I move, I don't. I do not like insulated boots, but it is what it is. So I like the Kenetrex. That's what I wear during our December season. Okay. I do have Crispies. I've had a pair of Schnees. I've got the Lathrop and Sons, and I think it's all personal preference, honestly. Like, it is. It's personal preference. The Kenetrex, like I said, I really like them. I've had mine for several years now. And you say, oh, well, Heath, you're not walking or doing enough to damage them. I only wear them hunting. Like, that's it. I only wear them when I'm bear hunting. I don't wear them when I'm deer hunting. I don't wear them. Yeah, I don't think I've had them on other than chasing bear, but I treat mine. In fact, after season this year, pulled the shoestrings out of them, washed them, warm water with a little soap, let them dry for a couple of days, and then I treated them with the stuff that they recommend. I do that every year. My Crispy Thor 2s, which is a hiking boot, okay, so a lot different. That's what I wear during the summer and early season, and up into September. They're super light. They're almost like a tennis shoe. For me, I need that ankle support, so they've got a really good ankle support. And they've lasted longer than I thought they would. They've done really well. So I'm well pleased with those. I think this is my third year with them. And I do wear them to canine training sometimes when we're doing track and train. Like when we do our tracking class next month, that's what I wear. So I do wear them more than just to hunt in. And I've gotten really good wear out of them. I need a new pair, actually. I'll probably have to do that this summer. But I do like the Thor 2s. The Schnees, I don't know. Like I said, a lot of people wear the Bear Tooth, which is almost the same boot as the Kinetrek. So each their own. Like I said, I don't like insulated boots. I do wear a liner sock with my boot. And then in the wintertime, I wear a medium merino wool sock over top of my liner sock. In the early season, and I'm kind of skipping down through this going to socks, but since we're talking about boots, I wear a lightweight merino sock in the early season. And then I don't have heavy merino. Well, I do probably have two pair of them, three pair, but that's for deer hunting or stand hunting or whatever I may be doing where I'm not moving. I'll have that thicker sock, but mine are lightweight in the summer and spring, or spring, summer, and fall. And then in the winter, I wear the medium merinos over top of a liner sock. And that's only in my Kinetrek. I don't do that with my Thors. So waterproof is important. You look at your tread on your boot. You know, what level tread is it? Is it a four? Most people, once you get to that four, it gets pretty hard. They are slick when you go to crossing wet surfaces. I will say that. So you have to be very careful with it. But yeah, and like I said, that's my boots. One thing, I've had gaiters for years. The last couple of years, I haven't really worn them. But this year we had the snow, and I threw them in the truck, and I actually wore them quite a bit this year. But the thing with the gaiters, if you're crossing creeks and stuff, it helps keep the water from running down the top of your boot. Same thing with the snow, keeps the snow from pushing up into your pants leg and prevents your socks from getting soaked. So I did wear mine quite a bit this year, and I think I'm going to just start carrying that as an extra thing in my truck. Like I said, I wore them. It don't take 5 minutes to put them on. It's not a big deal. Pants. Let's talk about pants real quick. Again, everybody, each to their own. There's so many different companies out there with different pants right now. I like to wear the First Light Sawbucks, which are kind of like your, it's kind of a, and I'm, I was an old Carhartt. Carhartt was my thing. But these are like an upgrade from Carhartt. They're double kneed. They're made out of polyester and some nylon synthetics material. So they don't absorb much water. Basically what it does is it pushes the moisture along the surface and does not let it soak in, and it releases moisture pretty quick when exposed to the air. So, it dries really quick. Like, you know, you can get your pants pretty wet, and within 30 minutes or so in normal temperatures, it's going to dry really well. So I like that. Synthetic doesn't drink water. It just carries it. So it's got that synthetic fibers in it. It does have a woven stretch structure to it. So it has a real tight outer layer. So it sheds brush and moisture, light moisture, right? It's enough structure to it to resist saturation. So the way that they have made these pants are really, really good. Like I said, it's less bulk. It's a faster drying time. I have several pair of them. And in the fall, that's what you're going to see me wearing 90% of the time. I got like three pair of the same color. Everybody's like, do you never change your pants? Yeah, like I do, but I got three pairs. So I'm constantly wearing those pants. And if you can find a pant like that, I think you'd be really, you know, happy with it. The one thing that they do have that you need to know about is they have a DWR treatment, which is a durable water repellent on it. And a lot of hunting pants are starting to do that, that they soak in this treatment. But once you wash your pants so many times, it's going to start wearing down, and your dry time is usually going to slow down. So it's going to take longer to dry. So that finish helps with the moisture. It, like I said, it helps brush off the snow. It slows down the saturation of the moisture. So those are some things I'm just telling you, maybe look for in your pants. No matter what you wear, maybe look for those things. So, headgear. I mean, I'm either wearing a toboggan or I got two different hats depending on the temperature. I've got a trucker hat, which has got the mesh back. That way my head can breathe. And then I've got a solid hat if I'm not wearing a toboggan, a beanie, whatever you want to call it. So I've got three different types of head things that I wear, and depending on the weather and what I'm going to be doing is on what I wear. So this year, I think I wore my toboggan more than anything. Actually, I want to back up here because this is going to be an important thing. One of my favorite pieces of clothing is my Kiln hoodie that I wear. It's a mid layer. It is merino. I have probably 6 or 8 of them, and they are my favorite piece of clothing because I can wear them when it's just chilly enough. You need something long sleeve on merino. Remember, it takes away the heat, still gives you good insulation. I wear it underneath a sweatshirt if I need to put it on, or I wear it underneath one of my wool shirts or a heavy jacket. So I have this piece on all the time, and I basically start wearing it. The only time I'm not wearing it is probably in the summertime. Like, I was just sitting there thinking, like, when I start fishing in the end of this month, like next weekend, February, like, I'll have that piece of clothing on. I wear it all the way up through spring turkey season. A lot of times that's the long sleeve that I have on. And like June and July, I probably won't wear it. And then August, we don't. But in September, when you still start getting those cool mornings, it's right below 50, and you're riding around the window down, like, I'll have that on, and I wear it all the way through to June again. It's my favorite piece of clothing. And the reason I tell you this is because I wear the ones with hoods. And the reason I wear it is I can pull that up and put it over my hat, and I can zip it up. It'll zip all the way up to your chin, and it will literally keep the wind off my neck, and it keeps the snow from going down my back in the wintertime. So anyway, that's one of my favorite pieces. But the reason I tell you that's because you see some people wearing a neck gaiter to keep the wind off or keeping the snow and the stuff off. They pull it up over their face, you know, to their nose or whatever. So just something to think about. Dry socks. I'll tell you a story. So I was down at BB's hunting this past fall, and I don't know, it was our second day down there maybe, and we were hunting around a lot of water, and BB said, yeah, there's water everywhere. So I had taken my hip boots, and the dogs had treed, and I was like, how wet is it in there? And he's like, oh, it's wet. So I put my hip boots on, and Derek and I start down through this little piece of dry ground, and then we hit the water, and we're wading water. And we were kind of wading from high spot to high spot. Well, I stepped over in a hole and sunk up in it. It went up to my belt line, and so the water run down in my hip boot. So I got up onto a high spot and pulled my wader off and shook the water out of it, took my sock off, my merino wool sock, and I wrenched it out really good to try to dry it off, put it back on, went on into the tree, got back to the truck where I normally keep a pair of socks in the back passenger side door panel. It's where I usually keep them. Well, I didn't have them. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if I'd taken them out or what, but I didn't have them. So I had to borrow a pair from old Big John, and You know, that's something we need. You know, I do. I try to carry extra, like socks, a pair of pants, and a shirt in my truck. That way, if I ever do get, I mean, I fell in. I have fell in, and that's not comfortable. So, I try to carry that in my truck, and I just did not have it that day. I don't know why I didn't have them, but anyway, dry socks in your truck. So let's talk about electronics real quick. We all know that the cold weather will absolutely drain your batteries. I like to keep my I keep my handheld. I actually have it on my I have it clipped on my chest tree, so I can just flip it up and look at it, and I don't have to unclip it, so on and so forth. But when it's extremely cold, when that those laurel bushes are shriveled up and hanging straight down, and you flick one of them and it breaks like glass, that's cold. I'll put it underneath. I'll put my jacket over top of my chest rig and stick the handheld down in it and keep it close to me. So that's something that I do. I carry my phone. There's a pocket in the back of my chest rig, and I carry the phone in that pocket. So it's between my chest in the middle and then the chest rig. And I always turn the battery part towards my chest so that my body heat will keep it warm. And I always carry backups. I carry two different types of battery backups. I use the Dark Energy. Everybody knows that, the Poseidon Pro. I have the Pro and the Mini. I carry it on my boat with me. I carry it in my truck. I carry it in my the little Mini will go in my chest rig, and like it don't take up any space. It's I mean it's almost it's less than the size of a playing card. And if I need to recharge my stuff, I have that. So I always carry that with me. If you're using batteries, like for your headlamps or whatever, lithium batteries are going to outperform your alkaline batteries. I use lithium for everything, and I learned that the hard way at work. We have lithium batteries at work. All of our weapon systems have lights on them. My pistol, my AR, my shotgun, my taser, everything has lights on it. But one night we were out on a track for a lengthy, a long time, and I run out of batteries in two of my lights. So I bought me a little hard case and actually started sticking batteries and carrying it in my kit, which is my chest rig that I wear with my plates and everything, my plate carrier. So lithium batteries are the way to go. Even though they are a lot more expensive, they are going to outperform your regular batteries, and they're not going to drain as quick. Emergency blankets. I know we did a podcast with our buddy from North Carolina, Mr. Chad, and he talked about carrying some type of emergency blanket. You can buy those things on Amazon in a pack of four, and they fold up to, I mean, they roll up to a little bit of nothing. I do keep a couple in my truck. I have, if I'm carrying a backpack, I have one in my backpack, but if I'm carrying my chest rig, I do not have one in there, but that's just something to think about. So, end this up. When the dogs are running the bear in the winter, losing the signal or power, it becomes a safety issue, not just inconvenience. You got to keep up with them dogs, right? Non-negotiables. Here we go. Waterproof boots. Merino base layers. I cannot tell you what a game changer it is. If you have not tried Merino, buy you a set of Merino wool base layers and see if it does not make a huge difference. Like it was a game changer for me. Do you have a windproof outer shell of some type? Right? We just went over backup batteries. Bear hunting in the winter is about endurance. The better prepared you are, the longer you can stay in the race.
It's going to be a wrap for this episode of Creekside Chronicles. We appreciate you spending your time with us, whether you're in the truck, in the woods, or sitting by the creek listening along. Thank you for walking this trail with us. And thank you to W Supply for hosting the podcast and supporting what we do. Be sure to check them out and go to wsupply.com for all of your hound needs. Until next time, keep your dogs fed right, your boots muddy, and we'll see you down the trail.
Tailgate drops before the light, coolers packed and the rig sitting right, tracking collars charged, beeping green, boots in the bed and the rifles clean. Dogs.
rattling engines hum. We're chasing bear till the day is done. Old Ring barking like he knows what's near. Nose to the wind, tail full of cheer. From the Virginia mountains to the Carolina clay, we're burning fuel and miles each day. Every turn's another tale. Through mountain mist and paper trails, we see the sunset red in Tennessee. Rise through the fog in old WV, North Carolina's pines echo loud with the cry of a hard-run hound. New York forest, Maine's deep snow, Vermont valley's where the black bears go. Truck keeps rolling, wheels don't care. We're chasing daylight, chasing bear. Rest stops few, the roads are long, but the fire in our hearts still burns strong. Wisconsin mornings cutting crisp and clear, Canada's wildwoods drawing near. Still got states we ain't run, but that hound dog fever won't let us quit. We see the sunset red in Tennessee, rise through the fog. Chasing bear. Gas station coffee, Alpha XL on the dash. Another back road, another bear track. Friends made fast and stories told slow. Under stars where only hunters go. We see the sunrise gold in Canadian air. And it sets on a trail down in Appalachia. Packing steel and leather, grit and care. We're built for the road and chasing bear. So load the dogs and slam the gate. There's a trail ahead, we won't be late. From dawn to dusk, we're always there. Chasing daylight, chasing them bears.